and welcome to the fourth episode of Sex, the Honeymoon, and After with Narai. It's good to have you all here. In today's episode, we have the amazing Dr. April Brown, who's going to give you invaluable information on how to begin the conversation on sex if you're having problems opening up. And you get tips on how to cement the conversation if you're already having them. In our second episode, we talked about the importance of opening up about sex, and the premise that we talk about the steps you need to take in order to start the conversation on sex. So Dr. April Brown will begin by unraveling some of the reasons couples don't talk about sex, and she will suggest ways of overcoming them. Because they are hindrance to opening up for the service that is so critical in our lives and that builds better relationships. So I would advise you to listen to this podcast together with your partner this project. Also Dr. April Brown. She's a licensed mental health teaching counselor, certified relationship sex therapist, board certified female mental health counselor, national certified counselor, and a qualified clinical supervisor. She has two thriving private practices in Cape Coral and Fort Myers in Florida, where she specializes in anxiety, depression, self-esteem, relationships, and distance counseling. So Dr. April Brown holds a master's in the specialist degree in counseling and women's systems and a doctoral degree in counseling psychology. Since 1997, Dr. April Brown has been in the counseling field. She has a very rich background in counseling children, teenagers, adults, couples, and families from various cultures and backgrounds. That's 20 years of experience in empowering thousands of individuals to break down the barriers that cause fear so that they can embrace true intimacy in their life. So Dr. April's vision is increased intimacy for all. She has her own TV and radio show that she started in 2018. Called Bringing Intimacy Back, where she and other experts provide resources and tips on increasing intimacy in all types of relationships. And she's here with us today. So, Dr. April Brown, welcome to the show.
Oh, welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, great. It's really a pleasure and an honor to have you with us today. So, you are among other titles, the sex and relationship therapist. So before we get into the reasons that hinder couples from talking about sex, could you kindly tell the listeners briefly about what you do as a relationship and sex therapist specifically, just in case either people don't know what a relationship and sex therapist is?
So what I do as a relationship therapist is I work with couples and helping them connect. Many times couples come to me because they're either, number one, mostly are having troubles with connection, with communication. In fact, if anyone doesn't know, the number one reasons why people break up and get divorced is loneliness. It's not feeling connected with your spouse or your husband, your wife. So what I do is I help people connect, and I help people connect through learning how to communicate. And sometimes in learning how to communicate, there's a variety of things that go into that. It's how you were raised and how what you saw. So you have to kind of learn about good communication. Sometimes it's also how you deal with stress, learning how to deal with that and how that impacts the conversation. And sometimes it's just also learning how men and women talk, or just even as we know in this world, there are a lot of us who are marrying in different cultures, and I have that experience too. So sometimes it's also just understanding the culture. And so it's in learning about communication, talking about it. And when it comes to intimacy and sex, that's very important, because many times we come in there with different thoughts in our head, and our partner cannot read what we like and what we dislike. And sometimes ourselves, we don't know. So I also help people understand that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for clarifying that. What are the major reasons that hinder couples from talking about sex? So, according to research, I do find out that most couples have a hard time talking about it. So, well, what are the major reasons that couples have a difficult time talking about sex?
Okay, well, I think there's a variety of reasons why people have a difficult time talking about sex. Number one, maybe because they don't know themselves. When it comes to sexuality or when it comes to a variety of stuff, especially in some cultures, men, how can I put it, are more familiar with their bodies and It's just expected that they know about sex and they talk about it and stuff. But on the woman's side, it's like, oh, let's not talk about it, or you can't discuss it, or your parents don't discuss sex. So, like I said, number one, you don't know yourself, your body. So that's one reason why people don't talk about it. Number two, sometimes it's in the thing of religion. People think about sex as maybe it's just for babies and or making babies. And so that's another reason why people don't talk about it, because they don't look at it as it's really intimacy is supposed to be about pleasure. That's what it's really supposed to be about. So sometimes people don't talk about it because there's the agenda of just making a baby, and that's all they think it's about. Another reason why people don't talk about it as couples is because sometimes they're just doggone too busy running around doing this, doing that, taking care of the kids and all that kind of stuff. So they don't have the time. And plus, not even the time nor the energy. So that's another reason why people don't talk about it, but it really does impact a couple. So it's really important to find the time to talk about it. And many times you should kind of talk about it before you get married. You talk about it after you get married. And it's not a conversation that you have day one and you never have again. It's a conversation that should be evolving and should happen often.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, so did you just say that men are more aware of their bodies than women?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
Okay, you said that one of the reasons is that they are generally not aware of their bodies.
Okay.
And did you say that men are more aware than women? Could you please clarify on that point?
Okay, yes, I can clarify that. So for men, in all honesty, when they grow up, they become very comfortable with their penis. In fact, they even, for some people, they even name it for men. They just know their body. They can, like if there was all these penises line up, they could pick it out. But for women, when it comes to their vagina or their personal parts, they have no idea what it looks like. They're not comfortable with that. They weren't taught to explore their body. So if you line up all the vaginas, they would like not even want to look, but they couldn't pick out their own. So that's what I'm talking about in the sense of understanding your own body, because you have to understand your body so you're able to talk and communicate with your partner. Does that make better sense?
It does. Perfect sense. All right, so with this problem also stems from the fact that when growing up in most cultures, people really do not respect their sex organs using their names. They always call it a penis, they don't call it a vagina, they call it all sorts of female euphemistic names. Would that be another cause, the reason why people don't name the sex organ?
Yeah, and I'm not saying you have to name your sexual organs, but I'm just saying a lot of men do. I mean, they just are more comfortable with it versus as females. And I'm not saying that's something that you need to do, but I'm just saying as a person yourself, any person, they need to understand and know their body. That's just important.
All right. That's good. So would you say that then women have greater difficulties opening up than men? Yes.
And you also just have to remember part of it's that issue, but part of it is just also we weren't taught to be able to talk about sex. Many times parents just say to girls, you know, just don't have sex before you get married, or and that's it. And it's more than that. So it's starting talking to your girls and talking to your kids early in life, so they understand that sex isn't something that you should be ashamed of. The higher power, whoever that is, for some people it's God, he created sex, or she created sex. So it is something that should be talked about.
Yeah. Okay, so how can couples get past these hindrances to opening up couples?
So how can couples start talking about sex? Well, first, I think for each individual, they need to be comfortable talking about it. And so to be comfortable talking about it, you got to know your body. So for each individual, and especially for the females, to actually be able to look at your body naked, understand it, explore it. There's a lot of different books out there. One great one that I would recommend, it's called Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski. She's a great author. And she talks about, it's a book mostly for females, about exploring the body and understanding it. So that's one part. Once you're comfortable with that or in the process of being comfortable with that, then it's actually sitting down time to talk with your partner. So you're like, well, how can I even bring that subject up? Well, one tool that I use that I can just put out there that's kind of an easy way of looking at sex is we love talking about food, okay? So all of us can sit there and talk about food and stuff. And so here in America and a lot of other cultures, they have courses. So if we're just doing a basic realm of dinner or whatever, if we look at sex to talk about with our partner, we can first start off with the hors d'oeuvres, which I call as foreplay. Asking your partner, what did they like in foreplay? And foreplay is really just warming the body up. And then we can talk about the actual ambiance also. I forgot to talk about ambiance. What do you like in the ambiance in the sense of smells and flowers and roses and where it's located and stuff? Then the other aspect is actually talking about the dinner part, which is the actual intercourse. What do you like? Some people like things on top, on bottom, a variety of things. And then at the end, talk about what happens after dinner, your dessert, which is basically, you know, some people love to be cuddled right after, others do not. Some people like to eat right after. So those are conversations that you can have in such a general manner.
Okay. Would you recommend that somebody has to begin the conversation in case generally women are shy talking about sex, and is there a way of beginning the conversation for women, for example?
So are you saying that some people are very shy to talk about it, that there's a way of how to go about talking about because they're very shy? So if you're very shy, is that what you're stating?
Yes, let me just give you an example. Most of the approach to my friends, family members, most women, they tell me that publicly I'm not enjoying my sexual life and I'm not feeling anything. And I always ask them, do you open up the conversation? Do you talk to your partners about it? And I have never heard of even a single one who says yes. They always say no, that you can't do that. I can't open up.
Okay, so
there's a problem.
Right. Well, number one, sex is a real, private issue. That if you're very shy and you're unable to talk to your husband about sex or your fiance or whatever, I would first start off on other issues first, before you get to sex, because there's a lot of other things that you need to open up and talk to first. So if you're able to talk to your partner about, what do I like in dating? Or what do I like when we go and do something fun? I like that you hold my hand, so I like this and that. Having those general conversations that can hopefully then lead to other conversations. But in relationships, you have to talk about what you like and what you don't like. But I do know that's a cultural thing, that in some cultures, it's hard for women to say, I like even how she, how you have your eggs cooked. So you do have to have that desire to be able to talk about what you like. Does that make sense?
Okay. It does. Perfect sense. All right. So beginning the conversation on other issues and then bringing in your emotions and how you feel. All right. So maybe does the timing matter where to do it?
Yeah, I would say timing, but it also, like I said, it's starting off with, so if you're very shy, you're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to go about any of this? I would say set time aside every week. I know over here, there's different apps, like Gottman has an app where you could have conversations, like it asks you questions about your partner or questions that you guys can talk about. And I'm pretty sure there's plenty of resources out there. So you get a questionnaire, one of those that couples can ask and may even start off of, you know, what's your favorite tree? So as you're starting off having these basic little conversations, they will later on in time develop into deeper and deeper. Those things need to happen. And like you said, it's important to set time aside to do that.
All right, that's so cool. So you say an app, what's the name of the app?
Yeah, so the app is Love Maps, or Card Decks. Card Decks, it's by Gottman. And in Card Decks, they have a lot of different questionnaires in there. From Love Maps, which Love Maps is learning your partner's world, learning how to know more about your partners. To open-ended questions, to I feel questions, to salsa sexy questions, to expressing your need. So when you open up the app and you click on a question, I'm just clicking on something here to go. And it just says different things. Let me click on just a hard one. Think of a sexual fantasy and then share it with your partner, describe it. So that's like a real hard question to one of the first questions are, ask your partner, what things are stressing them out in their immediate situation. So it has all these questions that can get you to start talking to your partner about.
All right, next question. All right, thank you so much for that. Okay, so the book that you referred to again, could you please repeat the title and the author? You said it's Come As You Are by Emily Hoop.
Yeah, the book was Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski, and her last name is Nagoski. So another good part in that book there that it talks about why also you need to have conversation. And I just had a question on stress here. Because for some individuals in a couple or in a relationship, when one person gets stressed, some people, when they get stressed, they put the brakes on when it comes to sex. They don't really want to be touched. They really don't want intimacy. While other individuals, when they're stressed, they want more touch. They have the accelerator. They want more sex. So in that little book there, it does an assessment so you can figure out if you have the brakes or the accelerator on, but it's also a good way to talk with your partner because then you know, like, oh my gosh, I've been with him for a while, and oh my gosh, during the last 4 months he hasn't really touched me. I wonder if he's thinking about other people or whatever, but he may just be stressed, you know, with everything going on. So it's best to know that information.
Thank you so much. So what may become of the consequences for a couple of not talking about sex in their relationship?
So what are the consequences of couples who don't talk about it? Is that the question?
Yeah, if the couples don't talk about sex. Yes, the question is, what may become of the consequences for couples when they're talking about sex? If they're not talking about sex, what could happen to them? What could be made? Resulting in everything that's negative, the consequences of not doing it.
Okay, so when couples aren't talking about sex, many times one or both partners does not get their needs met. And if you don't feel like your needs are being met, sometimes you shut down and you don't want to connect or talk with your partner. And then this comes a little bridge between the couple. It starts to, they start to go apart. And as they go apart, of course, then they start to feel lonely. And if you remember what I said earlier, loneliness is the number one reason why couples break up or marriages go away. So that's something that happens. Sometimes when they don't connect, you just have a marriage that is just there on paper, but they don't really have any fun. And for some people, this may cause a lot of stress, because if you're stressed at work, or if you're definitely stressed at home, and whether it caused you to drink more, seek out other people, or just totally shut down, these things can lead to health issues. So it's another consequence of not communicating.
So it is typical that couples do open up and communicate about the relationship.
Right. The benefits, though, of when you do communicate and when you do talk to your partner, well, number one, you get to understand each other's world and how you guys like what you like and what you don't like. So how can I put it? Well, I know he doesn't like to be scratched on his back. You know, that's a good thing to know, so that helps out. Then you're also on the same page. And the more you're on the same page, the smoother the house runs, because the other thing is the kids are watching. And so when you have a smooth running house and they see that mom and dad are on the same page, you honestly have less trouble with your teenagers and your kids. And also health-wise, when people feel connected, they live longer. Studies have shown that, that when you're connected to someone, you're more motivated to live a healthy life. So that is just another good reason of why communicating is very helpful. And then the third reason is that maybe you're with the right partner or not the right partner. So if you talk about this in the beginning, it can save you like tons of years of miserable if you guys realize you're not compatible. Or you can also, like we talked about it, maybe this is something we need to go to a therapist about. So when you decide about whether you should go to a therapist, whether it's a relationship therapist or just a sex therapist or whatever, or a coach or whatever, or get an outside opinion, you should probably do that when you realize that for some reason there is a block that we cannot communicate. And when you go into couples counseling, marriage counseling, it provides insight. And with insight, I mean with knowledge about yourself and about the other person. And when you have knowledge, you can make better decisions about what you want to do with your relationship. So, and it also teaches some people how to communicate, what's the most best ways to communicate, and other information.
Makes sense. So in your own respect to how it's important actually to begin the conversation and sex before you get married. So I'm just wondering how that works. Obviously it's a couple that is to sort of make to have sex before marriage. Which is just showing that part. How would they communicate their sexual needs? I'm just wondering.
So is your question, Mike, if before you get married, how to discuss sex before you get married?
Before you get married, yes. Earlier on, you said it's important to begin the conversation before you get married, so that when you get married, it becomes easier and the conversations can be more easier because you've already started talking about sex before you get married.
Okay. So having that conversation before you get married, of course, timing is everything. Okay. and having a conversation about sex and intimacy, how can I put it? It's sometimes better to have that conversation out of the bedroom or out of as a romantic or stimulating type situation. So when you're saying what you're saying it because you actually have thought about it and have processed it. But it also needs to be a conversation that doesn't happen immediately when you start dating someone, but it needs to happen at some point in time. And it's how you bring it up. And the reason why I say it's a conversation you need to have outside of the bedroom, because if you're having this conversation and you're in the bedroom and maybe you're trying to get with your partner, sometimes it can seem kind of pushy versus having the conversation, you know, when you guys are out just sitting there, maybe just talking and having a conversation about your relationship. And when you have the conversation, one of the things I should have said earlier, you should say it from I. This is what I need. This is what I like. Not to have the conversation and say, you don't do this and you don't do that. Because when you start it off with you, you become, that makes the other person in defense mode. So you need to have the conversation starting with I.
Okay, okay. I'm just sitting at the that the conversation could be difficult for example, the celebration and the rich might have an idea what they might like or how they might like it.
Could you repeat the question?
Yeah. Okay, the question is, would that would be difficult for somebody, say somebody in the region, would it be difficult for them since they really don't have an idea of what it is that they like, thinking about what they want, how they want it, so they're not yet engaged in it. So I'm just wondering what, how they begin the conversation and what they would say to their partner.
Okay. So I'm assuming what you're saying is sometimes even just knowing what a person likes in that conversation. Many times, believe me, it's best sometimes to do some research. I know as girls, we all talk to our friends, and that can be somewhat helpful. It can somewhat not be helpful. You just have to, it's a trial and error on some things. And in that conversation with your partner, sometimes it's trying something, and if you don't like it, not trying that again and doing something else.
To do a trial and error. If you like it, if you don't like it, then you move on to something else.
Right.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. It was great having you on the show, the special program. We hope to have you again soon.
Rabbi, thank you for having me on your show. If anyone needs any information or whatever, they can always email me at info@draaprilbrown.com. And I also have a show called Bringing Intimacy Back. But yes, I would love to answer any other questions that anyone may have. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Okay, so there you have it, listeners. If you have any more questions for Dr. April Brown, if you'd like to book a counseling session with her, don't hesitate to get in touch with her. You can visit her website, www.echofrown.com, and you can book an online session with her, or you can email her on the email address you just gave to. Is that correct, Dr. Echo Brown?
Yes, and thank you so much. And I'm so glad that you're having this conversation, and best wishes to you.
Great. Thank you so much. So this is Sex, Honeymoon, and After It May Rise. If you miss us on episodes 1 to 3, you can always send them on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Google Podcasts, Breaker, and Pocket Cast. So tune in every second Wednesday and let's talk about the next steps about that with among couples. Right.